Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Everybody, it's Friday, November 16th, and we're back with another episode here of Fan Junkies Radio. As always, I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, my partner in crime, Mike McShane. Mike, how's it going, pal?
Just hanging out with you. Just hanging out with you and talking sports, you know?
Great times, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might have to carry it, you know, another late night for me doing post-production on 5 Minutes at Frat House.
And listen, I'm sure the people who watch Frat House, 5 Minutes to Frat House, are very, very thankful for that.
I'm going to tell you, they got a good one coming. It's out there right now, and if they check it out, just full of controversy, a lot of vim and vigor.
Oh, listen, controversy is always fun. We know that here at Fan Junkies Radio. So.
We know it, yep.
Especially between you and I, man. Chairs flying across the... You know?
Well, we can pull it.
You know, me, you know, full body pressing you, man, slamming you into a table, man. You know, we've had some good times.
You wish.
No, side kicking an arm bar, you know. It's always great times. Well, you know what, man? We're going to have actually a really good show today because we're going to be talking, you know, a lot about some crazy and ridiculous things here today.
I think we got all four sports, maybe five sports covered,
yeah,
I think, don't we?
Know, absolutely do. And actually, we're going to plug our girl of the day right now who is going to take us into six sports because she's from the Philadelphia Soul. She's one of the dance mates there. Kristen B. from the Arena Football League is our girl of the day on FanJunkies.net. If you head over there now, you can check out Kristen's picture. She's a beautiful girl, really awesome personality. You know, I had the pleasure of talking to her over the last couple of days. You know, and you know, Arena Football League, man, it's, you know, go over there, like her picture, help her become Miss November. There is a lot of stiff competition out there right now, Mike.
Yep. I've been checking them out.
You know, we have a lot of girls from the Lingerie Football League, Angela Ripien, Tonica Renee from the Philadelphia Passion, Angela Chiller from the Green Bay Chill. We also have some, you know, great, you know, models who are big sports fans, like Dana Marie and so many others. So,
yep.
You know, get over there, vote. You know, whoever has the most likes on their photos by December 1st is going to be the very first Fan Junkies Miss November 2012.
There you go.
Great times. And
there you go.
Those are phenomenal, Mike. I'm having such a pleasure talking to them and, you know, really getting to know their passion for sports, man. And it's just evolving into something really big. And it's, you know, it's just a real pleasure. So.
Well, it's always good, too, I think, when you can get some of them who are really into sports.
That's the thing. It's like everybody's going after, you know these models who don't know anything about sports. But, I mean, if you look at what we have, most of our girls are athletes.
Yep.
And the other ones, if they're not, they're either cheerleaders for, you know, like Kristen B. She's, you know, she's a cheerleader for the Philadelphia Soul. And, you know, it gets these girls really into sports. You know, and that's what Fan Junkies is all about, Mike.
Yep.
You know?
And trust me, I always appreciate a woman that knows a little bit about sports.
Yes, especially one that could beat you up, Mike. you know what, Mike?
Listen, a couple of those over at the LFL would certainly take me out.
Listen, you know what, man? We already have that thing going on with Beat the Shark where, you know, it's going to come down to a Jamie Jacobson from the Green Bay Chill. I honestly believe she's going to eventually put Jeff Perini in a headlock.
I was going to say, Jeff's not doing too well recently, huh?
Really not, man. He is getting creamed.
Holy
smokes. Stevie Schnur from the, you know, from LFL Canada, she's in the lead all by herself.
So you're trying to tell me that Jeff's just about as mediocre as we are, huh?
Yes, Jeff is really mediocre this year, which is, you know what, usually picks up towards the later weeks and usually takes a commanding lead by that time. But I don't know, man. I really think he met his match in these ladies' Andre Football League.
Hey, listen, if Jeff's listening, he's got to call in and defend himself.
Honestly, he's going to have to. We're going to have to get him on here. And honestly, at the end of the Beat the Shark contest, we really hope to get the winner of it, whether it's Jeff or one of these amazing ladies from the LFL. And then we're going to start introducing the new contestants for Beat the Shark for 2013 because we're already lining up some great talent from the LFL, Mike.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm a little shocked at Jeff. I really am. I really am. I, you know,
you know.
I kind of held him up there in esteem, and he's letting us down here. I don't know.
I've always been disappointed in Jeff. No, just kidding, man. Jeff, I love you.
Yeah, really. Jeff, we're joshing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, listen. Great things are happening here at Fan Junkies Radio. Not only is it one of the fastest growing internet shows on the net today, we have been just being, you know, we've actually been contacted by some current and former professional athletes who are interested in coming on, and we threw out a bunch of emails as well. We already have a couple, you know, down pat here that are going to be on the show. So on Wednesday, November 21st, we're going to have Kim Anderson from the Lingerie Football League Chicago Bliss on here,
right,
friend to the show. Awesome girl. You're going to want to check in for that. She's going to be calling in around the 12:15 p.m. mark there. And then also former NBA player and current New Orleans Hornets scout Chucky Brown is going to be with us on November 26th, which is a Monday.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to talk about that. And, you know, also we were speaking to former NBA star Walter McCarty, who is now a recording artist, and he's going to join us very soon. It's just getting better and better, Mike. I mean, people are reaching out to us and vice versa. And, you know, we also have some big, you know, some really big names actually that we're in talks with right now. We really hope to get a few of them notched up as well. That's something that people are going to be tremendously excited about when they hear these names.
No doubt. Well, listen, we run a damn good show here.
It's going to be an action-packed show here. But before we get into everything here, just want to throw out the phone number, 347-237-5373. If you want to call, ask a question, throw out a comment, you know, ask Mike why he's, you know, just scary. I don't know. You know, anything you want to do, call it into. Sorry, Mike.
Scary. Yeah, I can be, I'll tell you.
You know.
Check out last night's 5 minutes of the Pratt House. You'll find out how scary I can be.
Yeah, it's, you know, you know what? I always wonder why Sidekick doesn't say enough, but then I start looking at you. And I see that look in his eyes where he's petrified that if he opens his mouth, you might just turn around and five-knuckle shuffle him, right?
Intimidation, that's correct. No, listen, Sidekick really got on a roll last night over some NASCAR issues. So he really got going last night. He pulled one off on me last night. I fully did not expect, so.
I've yet to have the pleasure of watching it, but I definitely will once we get off the air here because I love watching the 5 minutes at the Frat House show. It's always great.
Oh.
And it's always great to be on it. You know what? I have a blast with you guys over there.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
You know, I like seeing my giant head in between you and Sidekick. So.
Well, that's why we've been doing it for 63 weeks because, I mean, it is fun. It's become part of our life.
Just like Fan Junkies are it's for the fans by the fans. You really have to get involved in it, and you really have to jump on to both FratHouseSports.net and FanJunkies.net. You ain't going to go wrong. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we got a big show here, so let's get into it. We blasted the Miami Marlins-Toronto Blue Jays deal for the fact that the Miami Marlins are stupid and also for the fact that it was an unfair deal. Now, Bud Selig comes out and says that he's going to review this pending deal. To me, I think it's hogwash. I think he's just saying this for show so he doesn't have to hear anything from any of the fans or anything like that. Mike, from what you read today with Bud Selig said, and we both of us spoke about this on the show, before the show, after the show, on our off days, you know, since this deal was announced, do you think this is for show or is there a chance that Bud Selig will actually overturn this?
I had quite a bit to say on it. You know, you're saying how much we've had to talk about it, and I had a lot to say about it last night on 5 Minutes at the Frat House. And it's an interesting situation because I actually was checking in on probably about three or four different articles on it again this morning, all of them with the same theme, and that theme being that as you pointed out, Bud Selig is actually going to look into and review this particular trade. Now the consensus is that more than likely he can't do anything about it. There are some that are very, very concerned that if he did, in fact, it sets a dangerous precedent. However,
yes,
there is history behind him. I think it's only happened maybe once or twice in the history of Major League Baseball where the commissioner actually did step in and stop a trade from going forward based on its, limited value. In other words, it was so obviously slanted in one direction or another that it was an obvious case of one team trying to get over on another.
Yes.
The feeling is that he probably won't do anything. Yes, it's very possible that this might be just a bit of posturing on the part of Selig to give the impression that, oh, I'm the guy in charge. I hear you. I feel your pain. I'm going to take a look at this. It doesn't look like it's fair. I say if he wanted to, he could step in. And I think you could step in on these grounds, Jonathan. I think you could step in on the grounds that it's detrimental to baseball operations.
Yeah.
That's where I think you could step in. I think he has a legitimate claim to – I mean, this is his league. All right, he is in charge of all of those teams and all of those franchises. And I think he has the ability, if he wanted to, go in this direction. Now, I don't know if it's been tried before, and perhaps maybe that's a concern.
Yeah.
But to be able to make the case that this is detrimental to a particular franchise, which it is, make no mistake, it is absolutely detrimental to the Marlins.
Yeah.
But that it's actually overall detrimental to the overall operations of baseball, I think he then could, in fact, do something. Now, one other article I did read indicated that while, in fact, he may not actually be able to do anything about this trade, that's not to say there aren't other things that he could do as kind of a retribution, if you want to say put it that way, to Loria and to the Miami Marlins. One of them was to withhold the All-Star game, which is scheduled for 2017,
yeah,
and to, in fact, withhold that and not let the All-Star game go to that venue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are other things, apparently, that it was indicated he could do as kind of a retribution, maybe holding those things out as kind of a threat to Loria.
Well, Jeffrey Loria is one of the guys that are keeping Buzz Hielig in power. He's one of those owners. You know they're friends. You know they're close. I just don't see them overturning this. I'm sorry. You know, it's if there was a chance of it being overturned, I think you would have heard it right away before it even reached the commissioner's office.
Right.
I really think this is all for show. I think this is because, you know, Miami Marlins fans are going to start calling out not only the team but Major League Baseball for letting this trade go through.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, this is just Bud Selig trying to protect himself again.
Well, I concur with you. It's very possible that that is the situation.
Yeah.
That it's, as I pointed out, that it's just posturing on the part of the commissioner. Of course, I think a lot of people would be, I don't know, what would it do for Bud Selig's reputation if, say, by Monday, he were to come out and say, this ain't going through. I think suddenly there would be a whole newfound respect for him. Huh?
Listen, let me tell you this. If Bud Selig actually came out and turned this over, I would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I would be beyond shocked, Mike, you know, because I just don't see it happening. I'm sorry. You know, I don't. Because we all know Bud Selig is for the owners. We know he's close with most of the owners.
Right.
And we know that if the Toronto Blue Jays owner and the Marlins owner both come out and say, we both want this deal to happen, Bud Selig will make anything happen to get it to happen.
Well, Toronto's not going to say anything else but. I mean, let's get it straight. They got the better part of the deal.
Well, yeah, of course.
And I mean,
we know
what Loria's motivation is here. This is nothing more than a flat out salary dump and a money grab.
Yeah,
that's
of course,
all about. He's under, because of the fact he was able to dump well over $100 million worth of payroll. He's going to end up profiting over $100 million in his pocket next year, as a result of the brand new ballpark plus the lucrative TV contract that was just signed last year.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to end up pocketing that. The Miami Marlins on Tuesday went from being a team with 100 and I think it was like 120 plus
something
million
like
dollar payroll.
Yeah, down to like
payroll
30, right?
Less than 30, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's so obvious what the motivation was.
And you know what? Honestly, the person you have to feel worse for is the Marlins fans.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they had such high hopes. Not even that. You know, the Marlins, I mean, you know, the Miami taxpayers are having to pay for that ugly-ass stadium now. You know, and there's no team that's going to even compete there.
It's absolutely a disgrace.
I've never, ever seen a double-A team have a stadium like that. Have you, Mike?
Oh, what a shame. I mean, you know, we laugh about it, but it really is very, very sad.
No, it is sad. It there's nothing else you can really just wrap around, you know, just wrapping your mind around it to think that, wow, all of these guys that they just signed, they got rid of not even a year later after debuting this stadium,
yep.
After, you know, giving these Marlins fans something to hope and dream about again,
yep.
Gone. Like that. Snap fingers, gone. Heath Bell gone. Jose Reyes gone. Mark Buehrle gone. You know, Emilio Bonifacio gone. And
right.
Then your ace, Josh Johnson gone.
Right.
That's it. Done.
I agree with you. I feel bad, and this is me now being a sports fan, you know, because, I mean, certainly as a Philadelphia Phillies fan, I could sit here and say, oh, I could sit here, you know, and rub my hands together and go, well, that does it for the Miami Marlins. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Uh-uh, that's not me. I look at it and I say from the fans' perspective, that is a crime.
Well, because most people are going to be talking about it from the team perspective.
Correct.
You know, no, everybody, you know, Mets fans say, oh, we'll see you later, Jose Reyes, Karmazovic. You know, now you're
right.
Going to be going to Toronto, so far away from your family in the Dominican Republic and blah, 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 blah. You know, you should have stayed with the Mets. You would have been fine and da, da, da. Now you're going to a place where it's artificial turf and he
right.
has so many leg injuries as it is and, you know.
Yeah, but see, I, that's where.
They don't see that it hurts the game.
We've talked about this before. That's where you and I differ. Yes, we're team supporters, but we're first and foremost we're sports fans, and I look at it from the standpoint of that fan base down there, which was absolutely without any control, any say from them whatsoever. They had their entire team just burnt to the ground.
Yeah, gone. It's gone. That's it. You know,
and,
else can really say about it?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I kind of concur with you. I do not think it's going to be overturned. I think it's probably going to stand as it is. You know, one article I read this morning, which I kind of dismissed, was actually trying to make the case for the fact that, hey, Raymond, hold on, back up the bus. You know, the Marlins really didn't do all that badly in this trade.
Huh.
I'm like, please, really?
Seriously? Come on.
Uh-huh.
Come on. You know, I mean, honestly, I could talk about who they got. You know Escobar. We all know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
Inconsistent, piss poor attitude.
Right.
And a couple other people. I mean, you know, right-hander Henderson Alvarez and
yep.
several top prospects. It's a good haul, but for you know, but not for what they gave up.
Mathis is at best a backup catcher.
Yeah, and then I don't know how to pronounce his other guy's name. Idenie Hachavaria or something like that. So
I think both of the pitchers, I believe one of them's double A. I believe I think the other one might be a triple A prospect.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know. Listen, you can sit there and try to make a case for these guys coming to Miami.
Yeah.
But you cannot tell me that the weight, if you were to simply weight this, you know, on a fair scale, is it fair? Is it balanced?
No.
Hell no, it's not balanced.
Well, listen, you know what, man? We're talking about Bud Selig and a possibility of him overturning or not. Bud Selig said, and I quote, I've talked to two baseball people. I have a lot of people that I check with and talk to who have actually an interesting view on the trade. They think that Miami, in terms of young players, did very well. These are two independent baseball people. These are not chefs in these kitchens here. So, you know, right there, Ned, you could see it already. He ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, he just gave it away. He just gave away, you know, what we're talking about. Is he really seriously reviewing this? Hell no, he's not.
It's funny because he went on to say, so I want to think about all of it and I want to review everything. I want to be my usual painstaking, cautious, slow, conservative self in analyzing it. There's a lot of variables here.
Wow, he gave himself an awful lot of accolades there, didn't he? I'll tell you,
well,
I guess.
If you not know him to give himself an accolade.
I was going to say, I guess he's got to give them himself because nobody else has given him that much.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know what, it really is. And like I said, you know what, to me, the game of baseball has been tarnished for years now. And this just further tarnishes it, and it just, for a fan like me, I just don't even want to look at the game of baseball. You know? They got to get rid of this guy. You know what, man? It's, you know, what are they going to get somebody in there that's not just for the owners, but also for the players, the teams, and the fans themselves?
Well, when are we going to get that in any of our sports?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, let's get it straight. You know? It's
honestly, I'm sorry, because if you look at the NBA, to me, the NBA is the only one. I mean, I know he's stepping down now, but to me, the NBA has been the only league that had a commissioner that actually gave a crap about the game itself and wanted to see it evolve. I don't get that with the MLB. I don't get that with the NHL, and I haven't gotten that with the NFL in years.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake. There have been times in the history of Stern, however, where there was some animosity there.
Well,
not just because.
But if you look at all of the work stoppages in the other leagues, and you look at the commissioners there, I mean, if you did a rating system, you know, Stern would be rated the best one out of all four leagues.
Except, well, okay, but you're, I don't know. We're glossing over a couple of things here. You've had the three other teams, the three other sports in this country have had work stoppages since Major League Baseball did.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, Major League Baseball, really, when it comes right down to it, is actually
more. No matter what you look at it, Major League Baseball will always be a bigger cash cow than the other three leagues. The owners know it. The merchandisers know it.
Right,
everybody knows it.
Bigger than the NFL? Seriously?
Bigger than the NFL. Mm. Always will be. That's no doubt. I mean, look. You look just today and yesterday. They just approved new deals with ESPN, Turner Sports, and Fox worth over $12.4 billion in just an 8-year stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money for 8 years.
Yep.
You know, it'll always be a bigger cash cow.
But my point was, I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, Major League Baseball has been, in my opinion, in the past, when was the strike there that we had with Major League Baseball? But in the past 10 years plus, Major League Baseball has been more stable than the other three.
What was that, 94, 95?
94, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Which pissed you off because the Expos could have won it that year.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking 15 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, but anyhow, there's the situation. We'll see. Well, I guess we'll see how that goes. It would seem to me. I mean, since there's so much chatter about it.
Listen, let me tell you this right now. Do you remember who was the head of the Players Association during that strike?
It was during Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
It was Donald Fair, was it not?
Isn't that crazy, man? This guy's got two major leagues.
Yep.
Stoppages under his belt.
Right. But, you know, now that there's been so much chatter about it, and Bud Selig has actually come out and said, you know, yeah, I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to review it. At some point or another, and I would suspect it might be Monday, it might be Tuesday of next week, he's going to have to come out and make a statement officially about the whole situation. So I guess we just wait and see how that goes.
Well, listen, was Selig even the commissioner during that strike?
I believe so. Yes, he was. I believe, yes.
I could have thought it was somebody.
He's been in there for a long time now.
Yeah, 1992 he's been in there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. To me, it's just crap. I mean, honestly, he's probably one of the most complained about people in sports. But yet they only had one stoppage under him?
Yeah, but there's think about it. There's no commissioner that isn't maligned in some way or another.
Well, no, of course not.
Yeah. You know, it's always an adversarial. There's always an adversarial type of relationship between the fans and whomever the commissioners are of that respective team or league.
Yeah.
Always.
It's crap, Mike, I tell you. Anyway, let's move it on to football, Mike.
Yep.
Enough about baseball. It just makes me sick to my stomach. Before we get into the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins game last night, just two little news tidbits here. Eagles quarterback Michael Vick will not play Sunday versus the Redskins.
No surprise.
Buddy Nick Foles is going to start.
No surprise.
And also, Bears announced just a minute ago that quarterback Jason Campbell will start in place of Jay Cutler against the 49ers. So Alex Smith will play, Jay Cutler won't.
Okay.
Is that an upgrade?
Well, you know, interesting point, because I made the comment last night on 5 Minutes with Fred House. Jason Campbell, I thought, actually wasn't too bad. Coming in to relieve Cutler last week.
Man, I've always liked Jason Campbell. I thought, you know, he got an unfair, you know, rap against him because of the mediocre teams he was with. You know, he never really had anybody good. You know,
yeah,
Redskins.
Yeah.
You know,
Raiders,
who
right?
else was he with? He was with the
Raiders. Raiders.
Yeah, and then, you know, now he's with the Bears, but,
uh-huh.
You know, 4 years with the Redskins, and if you look at those Redskins rosters, who did he have to throw to? Santana Moss?
Yeah, I think the Bears have got themselves a pretty good backup there. I really do.
I honestly think Jason Campbell could really open up some eyes here.
I'm not against
a defense like the, you know, like the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm frankly not concerned about it. you know, I think the 49ers would have been more concerned had Kaepernick had to be the starter than Alex Smith.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree.
We'll see how effective Alex Smith is going to be from that. Apparently, he was doing some limited non-contact drills yesterday.
Oh, listen, man. You know he gets hit hard by Julius Peppers and the Bears D line.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, if I were the 49ers, I would be very, very cautious with Alex Smith and possibly even start Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I've noticed.
What happened.
One of the things I have noticed from the 49ers in some of the 49ers games recently is the offensive line has looked a little bit weak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, the Michael Vick thing doesn't come as a shock. We kind of suspected that. To be perfectly honest, depending on what Nick Foles does over the next game or so, it would not surprise me if we did not see Michael Vick on the field again for the remainder of the season.
Yay! Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to. Sorry.
Oh, no. Listen, you can do that. I didn't do it, but you know.
Yeah, you know you did it.
No, I don't know. No,
yeah.
Fine.
You did it in the privacy of your own home.
No, I did not. Frankly, in my opinion, I still think that I think the Eagles have their best chance of winning with Mike Vick. That's just my personal opinion, but.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But
yeah, better chance with Donovan McNabb. We know how that played out.
Oh, please, no, let's not go there. All right, let's not go there.
All right, Mike. Let's get over to the waste of space game last night between the Buffalo and the Miami Dolphins. To me, I would love to know who picks these damn games on these schedules because lately, even in the NBA, these games that are getting to primetime TV have been awful. Last night was one of them.
Yeah, the Thursday night games for Thursday Night Football have not been some of the best. That's
yeah. Listen, the Bills moved to 4-6. Dolphins dropped to 4-6. Dolphins now lost their last three.
Yeah.
The Dolphins lost to a team. Granted, score was 19-14, Mike. So, you know, it wasn't like nobody scored anything. But they lost to a team that didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Yeah, it really wasn't. As I've said before, I had the game on. It was over my shoulder. It was kind of hear his background noise as I was putting the show together, doing all the post-production work until well into the wee hours of the morning. But from what I did see of it, it was really rather uneventful. I've been a big Miami supporter, I guess.
Man, you've been their biggest advocate, man. I thought I was
with
some some Miami Dolphins posters in your house or something.
Ryan Tannehill really was just not very good last night at all. Going 14 of 28 with 141 yards, one TD, two interceptions. He had a 46.9 QB rating. And then you match that up against Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, a little bit better, but still kind of mediocre. 17 to 27 for 168, no TDs, no interceptions, as you pointed out, QB rating of 80.5. Both these quarterbacks were sacked quite a bit.
Yeah, three times each.
Yep.
Yeah.
A bit of a yawner. A bit of a yawner going on, and as like you said, as you pointed out, no offensive TDs for Buffalo.
Let me ask you this. Does Cameron Wake ever have a game where he doesn't get at least one sack?
Yeah, really?
Seriously, I mean, that guy just evolved into – I don't know what he evolved into, but he's just been a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many – I think he has like 9.5 on the season now, but that's just insane.
Well, is he in the top five? I don't have
– I don't think he's in the top five.
I can get those numbers very quickly.
That's a Penn State product right there too.
Yes.
Yes, he is. He's tied for third.
There you go. Yep.
With DeMarcus Ware, Aldon Smith, both 9.5. Von Miller in second with 10. And J.J. Watt still leading by a half a sack.
There you go. Right. I thought he was in the top five.
Yeah. And you know what baffles me? When you watch Jason Pierre-Paul play, how the hell does he only have six sacks?
Yeah.
That guy is just – you know what? Let me tell you, man. If I'm standing there, man, and I see Jason Pierre-Paul running at me, man, I'd cry.
Well, and he's all over the place too.
He really is, man. You know what, man? You got to give Jason Pierre-Paul credit, man. He's a phenomenal player.
the guy, when you watch, if you watch the plays closely, that guy is moving all over the place.
Yeah. He honestly, he looks like a safety running around.
Yes, he does. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
He really does. 43 tackles on here, 1 forced fumble, 6.5 sacks. I mean, I don't know how he does not have more sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he leads the Giants with 6.5.
Right.
I don't know who. Osi Umenyora's got 4, and you know, a guy they wanted to get rid of.
Right.
I don't see. Is Justin Tuck even playing this year?
Yeah. Well, you got me. You got me on that one.
Because 3 sacks on the year for Justin Tuck, but
I've heard his number called. Yeah.
And what you know? What really breaks my heart, Mike?
Go ahead.
There's no Jets on this list at all. There's like 40 names on this list. No Jet to be seen.
Oh, wait.
Abbott's up there 3.5.
Listen, what can I tell you, dude? What can I tell you? We're both schmucks, okay?
Well,
you've got the Jets and I've got the Eagles. What can we say?
I wouldn't say we're a schmuck.
Well, you know, mediocre, dude. Mediocre. Mediocrity at its best right there.
Yeah.
You know? Honestly.
I wouldn't say schmucks, man. You know. That's a little harsh, Mike. I don't know why you're throwing insults at us like that for, but.
All right.
Listen, that game was just a waste last night. I honestly feel feel bad for people who stayed up to watch that game last night.
No.
I really don't.
There have been worse games.
No, there have been worse games, but how many more disappointments on Thursday nights are we going to have?
Yeah, well, it's Thursday night. Listen, you won't have to worry about it next week. We got 3 good matchups, I believe, for next Thursday.
Yeah, well, I would hope so, man. Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, we'll have lots to talk about on Friday on that one.
Unbelievable. All right, Mike, let's get off of this because, you know, I don't think people want to hear me bitch about football, so.
Okay.
Switch over to the NHL and something, you know, we have a little over 28 minutes left, and I know we're going to possibly talk a lot about this right now, but, Gary Bettman comes out. He basically floated the idea to Donald Fair and the Players Association that he thinks they need to take a 2-week break from negotiations. You've already wasted 2 months, canceled the Winter Classic, and now you want to take a 2-week hiatus.
Yeah.
After already taking a vacation and going to the NHL Hall of Fame banquet.
It is laughable.
Seriously.
Absolutely laughable.
What do NHL fans have to do to get the message across that you better stop screwing us and get either a season started or just cancel it so we don't have to be put through the ringer anymore?
You know, John, I think you're being a little harsh here. I mean, come on. Look.
It deserves to be harsh. I'm sorry.
Thanksgiving's coming. I mean, these guys want to get home to their families. They got family time.
They've been home for the last 6 months. Come on, man. They've been home for the last 6 months.
You know I'm jesting, right? You know I'm just joking.
But damn it, don't piss me off, Mike. You know how I feel about the NHL. It's making me sick now. It really is. Not only that, there's good people out there who work in these arenas who are losing money, who need to pay for their mortgages, who need to pay for their kids' schooling, who need to pay for their medicine and whatnot. And then there's also these bloggers. These bloggers who are helping these leagues continue to grow. And their blogs are just dead now because of this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the report came out last night that this is what Bettman's suggestion was. And this was coming on the heels of the comments in the afternoon from Bill Daly.
Yes.
Where he indicated that he is, I'm more discouraged now than I have been at any point in the process. Well, you know, right there, you know, all of us who are hockey fans who have been following this situation, we read that. And one more time, as we have been for many, many weeks now, one more time, my jaw kind of dropped, my shoulders dropped, you know, everything that you could possibly imagine, every visual that you get that goes along with the word crestfallen was right there. And yet, at the same time, I sat back and I went to myself, why am I constantly getting myself anticipatory? Why am I constantly, you know, getting, you know, enthusiastic, thinking, oh, okay, maybe this is going to be it. Maybe this is going to break it. Only to be disappointed one more time. And I think that's the real situation here is these guys have not only taken away a sport that so many fans really, really enjoy,
And a sport that has been growing by the year since the last lockout.
And we're going through this. It seems like we're going through it constantly. But now, all through this process, they have been playing games with us. We're a yo-yo that they keep playing with and toying with. You know, one day it's up, the next day, uh-uh. You know, more and more and more, all they are doing is disenfranchising more and more people.
Yeah. It's
two-week break. What is the freaking purpose of this?
It's a shame. Honestly, I honestly feel like we just got over this. And then you read reports that they spoke for 4 to 5 days straight, and all they did was take steps backwards. How? You know, what the hell is – I would love to be a fly on a wall during these negotiations. I honestly think that they need to have a middleman right now. I honestly believe, whether it be a former NHL commissioner and a former NHLPA head sitting down and basically, you know, going over this and seeing what would be a fair deal for both sides – it's going to have to come down to this, because this is going to kill the sport of hockey and the National Hockey League as we know it, if this continues.
Wasn't there talk, or I was actually thinking, wasn't there actually a circumstance where there was an arbitrator involved?
I don't even recall it, to be honest.
Or am I confusing that with the NFL negotiations from last year? Because I believe there was an arbitrator involved in the NFL situation. I was thinking I had read early on that there was an arbitrator involved in the NHL proceedings. The problem is when you bring arbitrators in is that arbitrators frequently will sit there for a while and go back and forth. But even arbitrators get to the point where they throw their hands in the air and go, guys, guess what? We're not going to get anything done here unless you're willing to really negotiate.
Yeah.
And then what happens is if the two sides really aren't, the arbitrator suddenly disappears. He just goes away.
You know, there hasn't even been mention, because I'm looking around right now, and there really hasn't even been mention about, you know, using arbitration. But then if you look at it, who's, you know, which side's actually going to push it if it came to that? Would it be the NHL? Would it be the NHLPA? You know, but then it comes down to all the PR tricks, you know, when an arbitrator gets put in.
Right.
You know, the NHL and the NHLPA, they're going to start playing the media so the arbitrator can read into the media and see, you know, who's really at fault here. I mean, we've seen it so many times in the NHL before. We saw it in the NBA. We saw it in Major League Baseball and the National Football League. You know, if they bring an arbitrator, is it just going to be, you know, more of a circus?
Right, right.
You know, that's one of the things we really need to think about. Well, but at this point right now, can there really be any more of a circus than there already is?
Well, agreed. I might disagree with you. I think an arbitrator would actually lessen the circus atmosphere, because an arbitrator is actually going to sit there and go, uh-uh, guys, we're not playing this game. All right? I mean, you know, and the job of an arbitrator is to sit there and keep people focused, keep them on track, follow an agenda, you know, not let the venom spew back and forth. I mean, that's the role of the arbitrator, is to sit there and be the middleman, as you point out, and negotiate things, keeping both sides friendly as much as they possibly can, and on target. So I would disagree with you. I don't think an arbitrator might be the best thing possible. But, you know, the question would be, and see, my concern would be, you know, suddenly it would become a negotiating point as to who the arbitrator is going to be. You know, because the NHL is going to want somebody. The NHLPA is going to want somebody. Nobody's going to agree on who the arbitrator is.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. You know, from what you read, from what you know, from your hockey knowledge, from, you know, everything that's been said about this lockout, what do you think it would take for somebody to push to have an arbitrator, or do you think the season would be canceled before that even came to it?
I think the season would be canceled before it came to it.
Okay, good.
I mean,
what did you with me on that then?
What? Who possibly could, mandate? Who could possibly mandate to this group that they must have an arbitrator? The government? Well, I don't think any of us want that. I certainly don't want the government getting involved.
No, well, we all saw that with the whole steroid stuff and everything.
Okay, I really don't. You know, there was talk that the federal government was going to intercede in the NFL situation. There was talk of it, but I was completely opposed to that, and I'm always completely opposed, really, to the government getting involved, with the exception of certain circumstances.
Yeah.
But for something like this, I think it has to be left to the private sector. It has to be left to these two sides. They are not government funded, so therefore the government should not be getting involved in it. So the question becomes, who would have the authority to actually mandate to the NHL or the NHLPA that there must be an arbitrator?
Well, let me throw this out there too, Mike. If the season is canceled, that shows you how far apart the NHL and the NHLPA really are. It's going to show, and it's also going to come out if it's canceled, how much hatred there is on the two sides for one another.
Yes.
Now, season gets canceled, let's say. Is there even going to be a chance that they'll even, you know, get a deal going even with all those months up until next season? I mean, you know, there's going to be so many intangibles to think about, you know, over the months and until the 2014 season starts.
Yeah.
That you would have to think that, wow, there could even be a big, big possibility that even next season would be in jeopardy.
You bring up a great point. There was an article just yesterday. I want to say it was over on NBC. Which one is it? Is it Pro Hockey Talk? There was an article over there that I read, which actually insinuated exactly what you're saying right now. And that is, the tone of the article was, fans ought to start getting prepared for the possibility that there may not be a season next year.
Hey, you know what? There might not be.
And you bring up a valid point. Look, you could cancel the season right now, but without any inroads being made on some of these issues, who's to say, why would suddenly the atmosphere change between now and, say, next September simply because you've canceled the season? If you can't get through these issues now, why suddenly are you going to be able to get through them in January, February, or March?
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, right now they're the laughingstock of professional sports, and every day they're making themselves even an even bigger joke, and they're going to lose diehard fans eventually if they haven't already. You know,
and I think you made a very, very valid characterization there. You know, I know, Jonathan, you had said it. You actually said that very line early on. In this situation, you said that the NHL it has become a laughingstock in the sports. And when it was earlier on, say back in mid-September or the end of September, I kind of dismissed your comments going, oh, come on, listen. Like, we've seen this from other sports. We've seen this in the NFL recently. We saw it recently in the NBA. You know, don't give me the stuff that they're laughingstock.
Yeah.
But
they are.
I'm going to tell you right now.
They are.
Now I concur with you. Now it is a situation where they are laughing stocks.
They are laughing stocks because
this is ridiculous.
When they got to the point where they were going to go right to a lockout, I knew right away it wasn't going to be pretty. I knew it wasn't going to be short. I knew it was going to last. I even knew that there was a possibility that the season was going to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so in depth with the game, and I love to read, and I love to really, you know, talk to people involved with stuff, and you know, from the beginning, the consensus was, this is not good for the National Hockey League. This is not good for the sport of hockey in the United States.
Right.
And we're now seeing it.
And his proposal to take 2 weeks off, I agree with you, is absolutely ludicrous. What he should be doing is he should be saying, instead of taking 2 weeks off, he should be saying, folks, we're only going to stop to sleep for 2 hours until this is done. Not taking a two-week break.
You know, you think that there's so much involved with this that people would really want to sit down, get it done as soon as possible, instead of floating out the idea, let's take a two-week break.
Well, and you and I have talked about that. It would seem
we can't take a two-week break, Mike, from what we do for a living.
Hell no.
You know, what the hell?
It would seem to me that at some point or another, you're going to see some individuals on one side or the other start to weaken, start to break. We've talked about that before, be it an owner or a couple of owners or a couple of players or somebody, you're going to start to see things start to weaken. It's going to have to, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So, something's going to happen. I'm reading right now on Pro Hockey Talk that Wayne Gretzky came out and he says that he thinks there's still going to be a season. Part of the reason for that is because he believes the greatest gulf between the players and owners is already gone. And then he goes on to say, and I quote, "I thought that in 2004 when we changed the structure and went to salary cap, I thought that was the biggest hurdle. So
right.
It seems to me that the big hurdles behind us are sort of in the rearview mirror." Guess what, Wayne? It's not.
No.
Because if that was the biggest hurdle, we would have a season by now.
Well, I think his assessment's completely incorrect.
It really is incorrect. He's way off in his assessment.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Mike. It's not good. It's, you know, every day I hear the passion and the anger and the sadness in fans' voices, you know, especially the fans that were so looking forward to taking their kids to their first hockey game. And to pass on the tradition of being a hockey fan and whatever team it is, a Rangers fan, a Leafs fan, a Red Wings fan, and every fan right now is in the same boat. It has nothing to do with teams, but I still don't see the fans banding together to do something positive with this, you know. That's one of the things that never come out of it. Everybody's off on their own thing, doing their own thing. I've never seen anybody come out and really band the fans together to really, you know, fire off letters or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Sidekick made an impassioned comment similarly last night on our Five Minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, he did on our 5 minute show where, you know, and it was in response to my rant about the whole situation with the Miami Marlins and the trade.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made the impassioned comment that, you know, look, bottom line is it always comes back down to the fans. Until we, as fans, do something that sends a clear message to our teams that we have displeasure, that we're not happy, as soon as we stop making purchases, supporting teams, going to the stadiums, buying the merchandise, these guys aren't going to get the message. And while I appreciate Sidekick's comments, I think in some respects they're somewhat euphemistic. That would be in the best world. You know, you and I.
Unfortunately, that's never going to happen.
You and I have interviewed, we've talked to people who are running some of these boycott-type organizations, particularly with the NHL and with the lockout here. And my question right now would be, really, how successful are those things? How successful are those efforts?
I tell you, Mike, they don't go about doing it the right way.
Well,
instead of everybody getting together and trying to band together and make a whole, everybody thinks that they could do it a better way and a different way, and they go out and make their own faction.
Well, but I mean, you know, where those groups were making headlines before, where they were getting attention, you know, pre-lockout, we haven't heard a damn thing from any of them since.
Yeah, well, we had TJ Tully on.
Well, that's one of them.
I haven't heard anything since. What was it? You have 2 weeks, I think it was, or
yeah, something to that effect, right?
You know, he was calling for boycotts for all these things, and he was getting really behind it. I unfortunately haven't heard anything about TJ Tully. I haven't heard anything. The last update on the You Have 2 Weeks website was in September. You know, but this is the thing: the fans give up instantly.
Yeah. Well, see. And that's where I'm saying, you know, while I appreciate what Sidekick's comments were, it's somewhat euphemistic because the bottom line is it never seems that we, as a fan base, no matter how passionate we might get, it never seems that we have the muscle to get things going.
No. No.
You know, there is no union for the fans. Maybe that's what we need.
I hate to say it, and that's something I've brought up so many years in the past. Where is the union for fans? You know, because, you know, we are the ones that are working our 9-to-5s. We can't take 2 week hiatuses from our jobs. And at the same time, paying our rent, putting food on our table, but giving our hard-earned money to these people who don't care about us.
Right. Right.
You know, it would be really nice if somebody from these sports who really care about the fans can turn around and say, hey, I want to put together a union. Who's going to donate? Who's going to back it? Who's going to join the fight?
Well, and if it's a union,
it's never going to happen.
If it's a union, frankly, I think it should be a broad union. In other words, it would be a fans union.
But it has to be for every sport.
No, it should be a broad union that would be for – right. Well, okay.
Be for every sport. And I'm saying, right. Now, when this happens, instead of NFL fans, MLB fans, NBA fans are laughing at the fans of the NHL, they should get behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Because – you know, having strong leagues in all four sports is better for all of the leagues playing in the States.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's simple cool. economics, dude. That is capitalism at its best.
Yeah. But unfortunately, people don't think about that.
Nope.
All right, Mike. We have a little we have 10 minutes left in the show. Let's shoot over to the NBA.
Yep.
And we have to speak about one of the biggest surprises in the NBA right now, my New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, down by 12 in the fourth quarter,
yep.
Knicks went on a streak to beat the 7-1 San Antonio Spurs, 104-100, dropping San Antonio to 7-2. The Knicks, the only undefeated team in basketball right now, it's 6-0. Raymond Felton, J.R. Smith, huge last night. Jason Kidd came on in the fourth. Rasheed Wallace looked damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he was even getting minutes in the second quarter last night, Mike.
Yep.
You know, something we really didn't think that was going to happen. You know, Mike, you watched a couple of 76ers games already this year. From what you're reading about the Knicks, did you expect this?
No, frankly, I did not. And you know, you got to – I mean, you know, I hear your enthusiasm. And I hear your you know, wow, you're really juiced. I got it, you know. Somehow or another, you know, I guess I look at it and I go, they're going to cool off.
Oh, no.
I mean, I hate to be a wet cow. I don't want to be a wet cow or anything. But I keep thinking to myself, they're going to cool off.
Don't get me wrong. The Knicks aren't going to go undefeated the whole season. They're going to lose basketball games.
Sure.
Like you said when we talked about it many, many shows ago, getting on a streak and winning 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 games from the beginning,
yes,
that's only going to help you at the end of the season.
There's no doubt about it. I think in a sport like basketball, and I think in a sport like baseball, it certainly helps to get off to a hot start.
Yeah.
I think in the other two sports, I think in football, you can come back from even, say, an 0-3 deficit and still have a good season.
Yes.
But I think in basketball, and I think in baseball in particular, if you've got a good first month, a good month and a half going into the season, I think it bodes very, very well for you.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. And like I said, I hate to be, you know, I don't want to sound like a wet towel on you, but, you know, this looks very, very good for the Knicks and for their prospect. Did I expect it? No, I did not expect it. Obviously, as a Sixers fan, you know, there was a lot of hype and a lot of chatter in my neck of the woods, you know, for the fact that, well, the Sixers might win the division. They might come in second. Boy, at this particular moment right now, where are the Sixers? Are we in the basement?
And yeah, I think four, we're still, 4-4.
We're 4-4,
luckily,
I know that.
The Raptors are a lot worse than
the Sixers. Yeah, I know we're
4-4.
Your guys look very, very good. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit about it pre-show. USA Today, this morning's article, the spark for the Knicks, J.R. Smith, huh?
Yeah, he's been big. He's been really big.
You know, and he's not, you know, we're not talking about a star power name necessarily there.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, he's got second most in minutes per game.
Yes.
He's leading your team in three-point shooting. He's leading your team in free throw shooting.
Well, actually, Jason Kidd is—he's actually perfect from the line.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I think J.R. Smith has had more attempts from the line, hasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Well, considering he drives a lot, so.
Yes. So I mean, you know, you've got a hot team right now. There's no doubt about it.
No.
Expected? No, it wasn't expected.
No. But this is the thing we always talk about: is role players. You have to have a balanced team. You have to have a full roster of players that are going to come off the bench, spot your starters, and do good.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is a team that has barely played Marcus Camby, barely played Kirk Thomas, hasn't played Amari Stoudemire, hasn't played Amon Shumpert due to injuries, and yet they're off to this start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no,
which
no,
only get better for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it bodes well for you. There's no doubt about it, because I think a hot start early on is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is a good thing.
By the way, Jason Kidd is 7-7 for the line. J.R. Smith, 12-14, so not that many
mm-hmm.
difference there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well,
oh, good
happens, man. It's going to be a long season. So, you know what? We're going to talk to former NBA player Chucky Brown when he comes on Monday, November 26th about that.
Right.
And get his take on it. By that time, hopefully the Knicks will be 9-0.
Well, you know, listen, good for you. I'm thrilled your guys are doing well. I can only hope that that my Sixers get their act together and can give you guys a run. That's all.
I don't know about that, man. I'm in his hair straightened. I don't think it's working. All right. We only have a little under 5 minutes left in the show here, Mike. So you know what? We're going to give you a breath of fresh air here, and we're going to talk NASCAR. Jeff Gordon, after that whole melee last week, mm-hmm. He avoided suspension, and he was fined $100,000,
yep.
And NASCAR docked him 25 points for intentionally wrecking Clint Boyer at the Phoenix International Raceway.
Right.
I know you have a lot to say about this, Mike, so, Mike, take the mic.
Well, I'll try to keep it quick. We're going into the very, very last race of the entire season on Sunday down at Miami. So the chase is on. We're in race 10 of the chase, and this will be the conclusion of it. Brad Keselowski currently leads on the leaderboard 20 points ahead of Jimmy Johnson, thanks in great part to exactly what Jeff Gordon did, and that was taking Clint Boyer out last Sunday.
Yes.
in a purposeful wreck. Boyer really did have a legitimate shot at putting a claim on the championship. The penalties that were leveled by NASCAR on Monday, as you pointed out, $100,000 fine to Jeff Gordon, 25 points docked.
Dropped him now to 11th place in the chase for the
Sprint. Well, and it was irrelevant because probably Jeff Gordon, going into last week's race, he was ranked sixth anyhow, so he probably didn't have as much of a contention for it. But the most ridiculous of the penalties, actually, though, was the probation until December 31st. For God's sake, there's only one race left. What does it matter that he's on probation?
Yeah.
But here's the issue. The issue is that NASCAR was completely inconsistent in their penalties here. Last year, Kyle Busch purposely wrecked Ron Hornaday in a truck race. Yes, it was a NASCAR race, but he purposely wrecked another driver in a completely different type of race. And NASCAR stepped in and wiped Kyle Busch out for an entire weekend, the next weekend coming up thereafter, which would have been for Kyle Busch, it would have been chase race number 8.
Yes.
And at that particular time, Kyle Busch was a chase contender. Jeff Gordon should have been parked. There is no explanation for it. To only fine him $100,000 when, in fact, he shouldn't even be allowed behind the wheel of a car. This coming final race is a disgrace, and it is inconsistent with NASCAR rulings that they did last year. Absolutely inconsistent. And now you've got a situation where Boyer is making orchestrations, because Boyer will be running, as will Jeff Gordon. Both of them now have nothing on the line. Boyer has said, Jeff, you better watch your ass, because I might be coming for you.
Yikes.
So now NASCAR has set themselves up with a really, really potentially powder keg of a situation.
Yeah. So it's not going to be good.
Listen, it could be a lot of fun if you're...
Of course it's going to be a lot of fun for a fan.
Yeah.
But let's just hope nobody gets hurt in the act of it.
Well, absolutely.
That's the thing, because, things fly into the crowd and,
that doesn't happen, frankly, in that respect.
No, but let's be honest. If something deliberately happens on the track and somebody gets hurt in the stands, or even, you know, workers on the field, whatever, let's hope that they're held accountable for it.
But that's where our issue is over here at the frat house, and that's where we're angry about it. And there, Ann, Jonathan, I think for the first time, we actually covered all 5 sports.
Yeah, look at that. Always great times here, man.
Wow, amazing.
Radio.
Yep.
Well, Mike, you know what? That's the end of the show for today. We only have a few seconds left, so once again, I want to tell everybody to get over to at www.fanjunkies.net. It's where sports meet social networking. Interact with your fellow fans. Check out our Girl of the Day and vote for Miss November. Also, www.frathousesports.net, where you can check out Mike and his crew and the 5 minutes at the Frat House videos up on YouTube. Great stuff always going on there. Everybody listen, enjoy your weekend. It's supposed to be beautiful. And we'll be back Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio. So once again, for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thanks for listening to Fan Junkies Radio.
See you then.